about how much do you know about Buddhism?
There's a few things I read.
Okay. So let's get the basics, yeah? What are the basics of Buddhism? It's the Four Noble Truths. It starts with the first Noble Truth, Dukkha. You have Dukkha, Alex?
Sorry?
Dukkha. You have Dukkha?
Do I have Dukkha? I think so.
Not only you think so, you have lots of Dukkha. What is Dukkha? Dissatisfaction, disease, restlessness, boredom. Lots of boredom. Yeah? Bored to be with the Buddha. Yeah? Want to do something else? Yeah? It's pain, suffering, mental pain, physical pain, suffering. Yeah? It's all to come. That's the first noble truth. All beings have to come. There's no being that doesn't have any to come. Yeah? In the human realm, our dukkha, yeah, can be a lot, but it's not as much as in the animal realm, or in the lower realms, or in the hell realms. In the hell realms, there's only dukkha. If you go higher up the ladder, there are the heavenly realms. You remember the fairy tales? When you were a kid, you know, I mean, you read some of the fairy tales where the fairies in the forest, yeah? These are the fairies or the heavenly beings. They have less dukkha than we. Yeah? And the higher you go in the heavenly realms, the less dukkha you have. But you still have dukkha. There's no realm where you don't have dukkha. Yeah? And all the realms of existence are anicca. Impermanent. So, in the human realm, in the animal realm, we are born. In the other realms, we just appear. So, in the hell realm, we just appear, or in the ghost realm, we just appear. In the heavenly realms, we just appear. And we disappear. There's no realm where we are forever. In the whole universe, yeah? The heavenly realms, there's the human realm, there's the animal realm, there's the ghost realm, the demon realm, and the hell realm. And I guess the hell realm is the most packed one, as the most beings. But also the animal realm has lots of beings. So, first noble truth of dukkha. So what brings us dukkha? That is the second noble truth. Our desire. Wanting to be something, wanting to have something, wanting not to have something, and wanting not to be something. Some people don't want to be born as humans, but they are humans, so they kill themselves. Yeah? Other people, you know, want to be humans, but they die. Yeah? So it's all the cause for dukkha. Yeah? Our desire to be, our desire not to be, our desire to become, our desire not to become, our desire to meet somebody, yeah? Or to avoid somebody. Yeah? Things happening in a way, yeah, that we do not understand. Yeah? And our desires create these problems or this dukkha. If you don't have any desire, we don't have any dukkha. I mean, if you could accept the world as it is, the people around us, our parents, just like they are, very difficult, our friends, accepting them like they are, then we wouldn't have any dukkha. Yeah? All our life here striving. Yeah? I mean, when we are young, we're striving to make the world better, a better place. Yeah? And then we give up after a while because we see we can't. Yeah? If we would strive for one thing, to make ourselves a better place, then there wouldn't be any problem, because that's what we, that is something that we can achieve. Yeah? Yeah? But changing the world or changing other people, it's nothing that we can achieve. Yeah? So the cause of dukkha is our desire. Yeah? Well, we can't get rid of our desire, not yet. So there will be dukkha. But the third noble truth says there is an end of dukkha. Yeah? The fourth noble truth is the path that leads to the end of dukkha. The path that leads to the end of dukkha is comprised of three columns. Yeah? Sila, samadhi, panya. Sila is morality. Yeah? So morality has five precepts, or the five precepts. Not harming any living being. One. Not taking what is not given. Not only stealing. Yeah? Two. No lies, no harsh speech. Speech that hurts other people. Three, no sexual misconduct. Having an affair with a woman that is married, sexual misconduct. Having an affair with somebody who is dependent on us, be it, you know, when we are a teacher, you know, be it the student, when we are parents, be it our child, it's all sexual misconduct. When we are prof, you know, when we have a student, when we are boss and have a secretary, that's all sexual misconduct. Using somebody because of one's position or one's power. People who are dependent on us. Or, you know, having sex with animals. That's all sexual misconduct. And the fifth is no alcohol, no drugs, everything that makes us unmindful. And these are the laws for the whole universe. I mean, it holds true for the animal realm, it holds true for the ghost realm, for all the realms. Yeah? It's a universal law. I mean, most of these, we have incorporated them in our laws in human society. Yeah? Except for the last one, no alcohol, no drugs. Yeah, I mean, beer, alcohol is common in every society. Drugs is a little bit frowned upon, yeah. So I mean, sexual misconduct 100 years ago, I mean, it was the law. Well, you were punished if you had sex outside of the marriage.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Where?
In Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Germany, France, I think in most of the countries.
You were going to the jail, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. When this law was?
Well, in the 60s or 70s.
Sexual revolution in the US?
Yes. Oh.
Nice.
Well, you were lucky or unlucky, you know, depends on how you take it.
God bless, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you were blessed, you know, because, I mean, the law exists, you know, the universe law still exists, yeah? Just because we've taken it out of our
exactly.
law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like it's giving the people the freedom of choice.
Yeah, giving the people.
If you want to, you're accepting. If you yeah. don't want to, you're not accepting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some people are pretty honest, you know? Okay, so I go to hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I do mean, that, but I know I go to hell, yeah? It's just like people, you know, murder others, and they know if they're caught, you know, they go to prison, but they still do it. They know that they'll go to prison, yeah? But they can't, yeah. They can't overcome their greed or their hatred, you know. So they kill and they steal, yeah. And that's the same thing. And sexual misconduct, I mean, is the number one crime in this whole universe. Or in this world, human world. Everywhere. I mean, look at the presidents. Yeah? Look at all the bosses, you know, and so on. So these are the five precepts. Why are they important for us? Why did the Lord Buddha taught them to us? Because he said, you know, if you break them, you will go down to the lower realms. Yeah. Just like we know, if we break the laws of our country, you know, we will go to prison. You know? Sometimes, you know, for little time, sometimes for a long time. We know that, huh? So, and the Lord Buddha, you know, told us, you know, okay, yes, these are the laws, you know, if you break them, you will go down to the lower realm. Yeah? If you keep them, yeah, you have the permission to come back as a human being. Yeah? That is very important for us. Huh? So, I mean, as practitioners, yeah, who wants to go to hell? I mean, if I don't think anybody wants to go to hell. Huh? You want to go to hell? No. Have you seen these paintings? You know, I mean, they're quite realistic. Actually, there's a nice movie about hell, yeah? Made in Thailand.
Really?
Mm. I mean, five people had a car accident, and most of them, you know, were in a coma, and three of them died, and two of them survived. Yeah?
It's a real story, yeah?
Yeah, it's a real story. Okay. And the two who survived, or one of them, you know, told the story about, I mean, how he was kept in hell for, was it five or 10 days? As long as he was in coma.
Mm-hmm. There is another movie, American one, Where the Dreams May Come. Saw it, no?
Where the Dreams May Come?
Mm-hmm.
No? Is it good?
Really nice movie, yeah.
It's also about hell?
It's about the story of the family who were driving and had an accident, and there was two kids, wife and husband, yeah, and all die except the wife.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they were a good family, I mean, and then the man, the husband, after death, went to the heaven,
mm-hmm.
and the God came to him and saying, like, what is what and how everything is working. And he's so happy, you know, and everything around is really shining and mm-hmm. happy. And then he see his wife, which is really in a depressed state, because of all family loss,
mm-hmm.
and she is in the hell realm,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to help her to explain that she shouldn't be depressed about this, because there is no death as such. Mm. I mean, there is no death as such, and that's why, you know, because of her attachments, she is suffering.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got the first. We got the second noble truth. Desire, attachment. Now, why I mention this movie? Because it gives it, you know, I mean, there are lots of places. Thailand, I mean, Thailand is really a Buddhist country. Yeah? I mean, you see a lot of signs. Yeah? And in some special places, or in every bigger city, you know, there's a place, you know, where they take the seven sins. Yeah. I mean, as pictures of hell, you know, they made statues, yeah? pierced by arrows, or pierced by things, or, you know, slain, or things like that, yeah? Or boiled into hot water and things like that. Yeah. Thailand has been a Buddhist country for a long time, over thousands of years. Yeah. So I mean, it is deep within the value of it. So, I mean, the Thais really do know, you know, I mean, or they really, most of them really do believe that hell exists, you know, and they're a bit afraid, yeah? But they're not afraid in the same kind like the Europeans. Why? Because in Europe, yeah, I mean, we all come from Catholic or, you know, Protestant background, yeah? There they say hell is eternal. And that's, of course, not true. There's nothing such as eternal. Okay?
Why so?
Because they don't want it, you know, the people, you know, to commit these things, you know, and say, okay, I go to hell for 5 years, just like, you know, I mean, I rob this person, you know, and get prison for 5 years, and then I come out. So they don't have power over these people. But if the hell is eternal, then they have eternal power over these people. They can make them really afraid. Now, Buddhism is just like, you know, I mean, you will spend a certain amount of time, depends on, you know, your crime that you committed, and then you come back. I mean, you always have a chance. Yeah? The same problem is with heaven. Yeah? I mean, I explained it last time, you know, I mean, we work hard, you know, and then we go on holiday, yeah, 3-4 weeks, yeah. And then all the money that we gathered over 1 year, you know, we spend, you know, we have nice, you know, it's fantastic, yeah? And then the money's gone. And then we have to work again. And each one of us knows that, you know, how difficult it is, yeah? Yeah? So that's the same thing with heaven, yeah? We go to heaven because we have done a lot of good things, yeah? So we can stay there for a while. And then we come back to the human realm that is really difficult, yeah? We have to work, you know, I mean, we are born, you know, we have to program, or we have to learn to deal with this body, yeah? And then we have to work for our life, yeah? And in the end, you know, what did you get, yeah? And then you die, yeah? I mean, if you kept the 5 precepts, you're born again as a human being, yeah? You do the same thing, yeah? And how many times, you know, it's not only 2 or 3 times, yeah? How many times have we done this, yeah? Thousands? Millions? Billions? Trillions? Yeah? I mean, we can't even remember our first birth. Yeah? Our first birth wasn't, you know, in this kind of nice, comfortable body, you know. I mean, there were other bodies around at that time. You know? You developed them over time, you know, and they became quite sophisticated. When you look at your body, it's quite sophisticated, isn't it? Just like we develop video games. I mean, can you remember, you know, the first video games that were on the market? You know, very simple, yeah? Very blocky, you know?
Did you play Tanks?
No, Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Okay. Mm. Was there at the university when I started, 1982.
A lot of colors in Pac-Man. Mm.
Yeah, 8 colors.
Yeah.
Had 8 colors, yeah. I mean, then you had 16 colors and things like that, yeah. And then when you look at the graphical games nowadays, I mean, wow.
You played? Yeah, it's forbidden for a month, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you see it, you know. I mean, you see it, you know, you see it on YouTube and things like that, yeah.
By the way, the YouTube is not entertainment.
Not only.
Okay.
I mean, the internet, I mean, of course you can say, you know, 90% or 95% is entertainment, but, you know, 5% is information, yeah?
Okay.
If you want to know something, yeah? I mean, even if you open your Gmail account, you know, I mean, you see the advertisement for games or this or travels or that, yeah?
No, I mean, I just had a question about a precept, yeah, like not entertainment, so... The internet by Buddhist communities is counting by as entertainment or not?
It depends on how you use it.
Yeah, okay, answer.
It always depends on how you use it, you know. I mean, you can say that video cameras are entertainment, but you can use it also for documentation, yeah. It's the same with the knife, you know. I mean, you can use it to kill people or you can use it to save people. And nowadays, you know, people look at YouTube. I mean, it's the number one, you know. So, I mean, if there are some valuable things, like Dhamma thinks on it, you know, I mean, then it's okay, you know, they come in contact with it. I didn't agree with it, you know, I mean, over the last 20 years, I never wanted to put Lungta on the internet because I thought, yeah, but over the years, you know, I changed my mind. I saw how valuable it was. Yeah? I mean, my master, or my venerable teaching master, you know, I mean, he was giving talks here, yeah? In Udon Thani, you know, so I mean, people could see him. Yeah? But not only people here wanted to see him, yeah? Now also people in Bangkok, yeah? And not only in Bangkok they wanted to see him, but the Thais, you know, over, you know, in America. Yeah? So what do you do? It's a question, you know, you have to be very careful, you know, I understand that. You really have to be careful about this. But you can't say, you know, a thing in itself is not evil. It's not good. It's always the way how you use it that it becomes evil or good. You agree?
All the objects are empty.
That's right. They have no, I mean, they have nothing, you know. I mean, I can use this spittoon, you know, to grow a plant.
Yeah? Or punch someone.
Or punch somebody, you know, and or kill somebody, yeah, things like that. Yeah? It's a way how we use them. So let's go back, you know. So the five precepts are very important. So I want you, you know, from today on, you know, to keep them. It's not only because of that. Yeah? It's not only because that you can go into the animal realm, yeah? Or in the ghost realm, or in the hell realm. Yeah? It's also, you know, for us, you know, as practitioners, it's a prerequisite. Yeah? It's a prerequisite that we can go, you know, the ladder up, the path out of dukkha. I mean, if you want to overcome hell, you know, I mean, we have to go through the fires of hell. Yeah? If you want to get rid of hell, yeah, I mean, then we have to accept it that it's there. Yeah? The precepts is one of the fetters, yeah? One of the 10 fetters that keeps us bound to the realm. Yeah? I was just, you know, digressing a little bit. How long have you been in this realm, you know? Infinite time. And we want to make out the way. Yeah? I mean, I don't know if you played video games, yeah? But if you played a few, you know, it's always the same. Yeah? You shoot this person, or you find out this, or you find out that, you know? But it's, I mean, it's pretty limited, yeah? Have you thought about the life? It is pretty limited. So there's a certain law, yeah? There's a certain law, and the law of a video game, yeah? That's why I call this life a video game called life, yeah? I heard now on the internet there's second life, yeah? Where you can change yourself, you know, to make up a completely fantasy person, yeah? And play that. But that's beyond, yeah? I mean, people can't even stay in the reality, yeah? I mean, now we are in the video game life, we invent in more video games, you know, so we go more and more into delusion. Yeah? Within the video game. Yeah?
Actually, it's the big problem, I think.
Yeah? Yeah.
I think it's the biggest problem.
It's one of the biggest problems, yeah, but it has been, you know, I mean, it hasn't been so big, yeah, in the previous centuries because, I mean, we didn't have so much time, you know. And we didn't have that so much entertainment. I mean, we had to work very, very hard for our life, yeah? When you think about, you know, 200 years ago, I mean, most of the people were farmers, you know, I mean, they had to work very hard in Europe, yeah? Because it's cold for 6 months, you know, I mean, you can't grow anything, yeah? Not so much in Spain. In Spain it was warmer. That's why they had so many wars.
So many?
War. They build all the warships, you know. I mean, there's
wars.
Yeah, there's no single tree in Spain. They need it all for the warships, yeah. You're sailing over to South America or Central America. England the same, yeah. I mean, it's hard to find a tree in England. But Germany is full of forests. Right? You've been there, you know, you've seen it. Right? Nearly 50% of the landscape is forest. And they're huge forests. And some of them are 200 kilometers wide. Yeah? I don't know about Latvia. Probably they still have forests. Huh?
Mostly sold to Germany.
For building their wooden houses. You know, the Germans are clever. They don't fight wars, you know, with warships. Yeah? They fight economic wars.
Yeah, because they realize it through the two wars. Yeah? Yeah. They realize the war is not so nice. Huh? Yeah. It's quite, yeah, we're spending more than when we're getting.
And if we lose, you know, we lose all.
Maybe not all, maybe just a half. Yeah. At least, but...
So, coming back to the precepts, so it's a fetter, you know. I mean, for the lay people, for all the lay people, you know, it is a hold, you know, so that they get the guarantee that they can come back as human beings. Eh? For us, it is the second fetter. You know? If you cut down the first three fetters, I mean, we are called a sotapanna or a stream enterer, yeah, who has entered the stream that leads to Nibbana. You know? And the second fetter is the fetter of not keeping the precept. Yeah? The third fetter is the fetter of attachment to the body. That you think the body and you are one and the same thing.
So when you entering the stream, you don't need to, you shouldn't keep the precept, yeah?
You cannot break the precept.
Ah.
It's impossible.
Ah. You're just keeping them...
Yeah, I mean it's just automatic, yeah?
Ah, okay. Yeah?
You keep them automatically, yeah? And you have a guarantee that within seven lives you're gone, yeah? You made the way out. But the first fetter for lots of people, that is the biggest, yeah? I mean, they don't believe in heaven. Yeah? They don't believe that there are heavenly beings, yeah? You can't see the heavenly beings. I mean, 300 years ago, I mean, look at all the stories, you know? I mean, they're seeing these fairies. Where are these images coming from these fairies? They have existed, and they still exist. Yeah? So, things that you don't see do exist. Yeah? So heaven exists, beings in heaven exist, hell exists, beings in hell exist. Yeah? That is one of the bigger fetter, yeah? The fetter of doubt. Not believing, yeah? I mean, we believe in science. I mean, we are blinded by science, yeah? Science tells us what we can't see doesn't exist. Huh? That means we can't see electric waves, they can't exist. Huh? Can you see electric waves?
Only when I am on drugs.
Shouldn't go.
But I'm kidding,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, and I know that you're kidding. Yeah? But that's what they tell us, doesn't it? Don't they? Mm-hmm. Heavenly beings can't exist because we can't see them. Yeah? I mean, our eyes are very limited. We know that by now. Yeah? Mm-hmm. If our eyes would be a little bit more in the blue spectrum, we could see them. If our eyes would be a little bit more in the red spectrum, we could see all the beings there in hell. But our eyes are limited, very limited. Yeah? So we can only see, you know, I mean, in this realm. The animals we can see, yeah? But there are people who can see these beings, yeah? And the Lord Buddha saw them, yeah? I mean, he went up to the heaven and taught them, yeah? And even on one day... Because also at that time, you know, the people said, no, these things don't exist. So at one day, you know, he opened the worlds. Yeah? Yeah? He showed the human beings, the beings of heaven and the beings of hell. Yeah? Just went for one day. Yeah? He made that wonder. Yeah? You can't imagine, you know, we can't imagine that these things exist. Yeah? But we should not... disrespect. Yeah? So, I mean, the first fetter is all about that. Yeah? You don't have to believe it, but you should not disbelief. Maybe they exist, maybe they don't exist. I don't know. Okay? Keep your mind open to this. Yeah? That's the most important thing. That is how you can overcome this fetter. Yeah? Probably exists. You know, lots of people talk about the Lord Buddha talked about it. You know, he even went down. He went up to the heaven. Yeah. And then within the fetter of doubt, there's also karma. Yeah. Whatever I do good, you know, will have good results. Whatever I do bad, will have bad results. Yeah? And if I have done bad things will come to me. If I have done good things will come to me. People, you know, in our world of science, you know, that doesn't encounter time. Yeah? I mean, for them it's a short time, you know, maybe it's a day, maybe it's 6 weeks, yeah? I mean, each farmer knows, you know, if he grows potatoes, you know, he has to wait 6 months, you know, to get the potatoes, yeah? If you grow wheat, you know, it's 4 or 5 months. Yeah? He doesn't get it the next day. Yeah? And so is it with karma. You don't get it the next day. Karma is even longer. Most of the karma, yeah? Most of our actions, most of the results of our actions will come only in the next life. Only a few will come in this life, at the end of the life. I mean, it has a process of reaping. Of getting right. And that is what we can't see. I mean, if we could step back, you know, and see 3 or 4 lives of us, you know, then we would see very clearly our karma. Yeah? And then we would believe, yeah? Yeah? Then we would believe the situation I was born into was because of, you know, this life. Yeah? Yeah? I mean, I got my parents because of this. I was born, you know, in this situation because of that. We could see it very clearly, just like scientists can see very clearly, you know, if they make an experiment, physicists, you know, if they make an experiment, or if they shoot this and this and this and that happens. Yeah? But, you know, I mean, because the time frame is a little bit bigger, we can't see it. Yeah? That's why we have in each language, I mean, at least in each European language, yeah? Don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you. You know that? You have it in your language?
Yeah.
Yeah? But we're missing the second part. Because whatever happens to us is that what we have done unto others. You never thought about that, yeah? Whatever happens to us, be it good or be it bad, is something that we have done unto others. There's nothing like, you know, this chance, you know. Yeah. Today I'm lucky. No, I mean, it is karma. Yeah? But karma, don't think, you know, I mean, like the Indians believe it is very fixed. Yeah? It's not fixed. Yeah? In this life you do this kind of karma, in the next life you do that kind of karma. It all mixes together. So, I mean, in one life, you have a choice. You have lots of choices. But of course, you know, the one, you know, that you follow is mostly the karma that is heaviest. Yeah? It's like compared to a river. Yeah? You have many rivers. Yeah? I mean, this river goes there, but it's a small stream. Yeah? And the big river, yeah? I don't know which river, Volga, no? The big river is that what normally if people don't change, that's what they follow. Yeah? But at each moment they have the chance, you know, to go and follow another karma that they sent, you know, I mean, maybe 100 lives ago. Yeah? It's still there. Yeah? It's the same thing. You have the choice, yeah? I mean, you go through a forest or, you know, you countryside. Yeah? There's a turn, yeah? There's a crossing. If you go straight on, it's a nice paved road. That's what most people follow. You don't know where it leads to, yeah? But there's also the sidetrack, yeah? The sidetrack might lead you through forests, yeah? Or through mountains, huh? At each time you have the ability to choose. Yeah? So karma, though it is, you know, I mean it is pressing us, you know, to go in a certain direction on the long paved road, yeah? Maybe on the autobahn, yeah? That's where it normally goes. People are, you know, just going there. Yeah? But you can always go off. Yeah? That is karma. Yeah? And you even have free choice. You can completely do something that is not within your karma. A free will. Yeah? Because karma is always, you know, I mean, it's pushing you. Yeah? But you also have one moment, you know, that is free will, completely. You can completely do something new. Yeah? Otherwise, people would never go, you know, and find this way, yeah? If they can't. Yeah? You can, but it is difficult. Yeah? I mean, going the paved road is easy, nice and easy. That's why most of the people go it, yeah? I mean, if you have a bicycle, you know, with small tires, you know, you like to go the paved road, yeah? Yeah? You don't like to go up the stony, you know, stony path, you know, that leads to the mountain. Yeah? But you don't know what you're going to be there. Yeah? So our karma for this life, you know, is the nice paved road. Yeah? And most of the people, I mean, 99% of the people follow. Yeah? But 1% decides, no, I'm going another path. Yeah? And that depends on our age, yeah? Some people decided very young, yeah? Other people decided when they are mid-age, yeah? And other people decided only when they are 60. Yeah? That's enough, you know? What does this life give us? Yeah? Work? Sleep? Eat? You lived long enough, you know, to see. Yeah? What did you do? You slept. You ate something. You worked. Then you ate again. Huh? Then you entertained yourself, yeah, for a certain amount of time. Yeah? And then you slept. And you do that until, yeah, for 40 years, for 60 years, for 80 years. Yeah? Where's the fun in? I remember when I was studying in the States, I just saw this image, yeah, and said, no, that's not something I want to do. Until 65, you know. I mean, just running from home, you know, to work, you know, and coming back, you know. And, I mean, that's not life, yeah. That's robot, yeah. That's people, you know, who are turned on automatic, yeah. Oh, yeah? When are you turned on automatic? The moment you go to school, you know. Everybody programs you to live in this world, yeah. Nobody tells you, you know, I mean, there's another way. Yeah? I mean, you remember 70s, we just talked about it, you know. People thought, you know, there's something wrong with the system. Yeah? So they went the opposite side, yeah. I mean, they went into camping, you know, I mean, camping and tenting and whatever. Yeah? First, you know, they devastated Spain, you know, then they devastated Greece, yeah. With their ideas, you know, of what is it, yeah, hippie generation, yeah. But they also brought a lot of people to think. Yeah. They live this way, you know, I mean, it was pretty much deprived, yeah. They didn't have a house to live in, you know, they just lived on the beaches, yeah. Their food wasn't really that great, yeah, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, people who lived the working life, you know, who had a house, you know, who had a family, eh? Who had food, eh? I mean, we're thinking, we're seeing that. Eh? But most of the people reacted, you know, in a very hostile way. But some people, you know, reacted in a way that's like, ah, maybe the way I live is not the way it is supposed to be. Maybe there's another way to live. So things changed a bit, yeah, but now it has all come back, yeah, to normal, and it has actually become worse, yeah. What normally happens, you know, you break out, you know, and then you're more tamed than ever before. Yeah? I mean, when these freaks got back into politics, yeah? I mean, you remember what the Greens, you know? The Greens, you know, were a lot of these people, yeah? And the Greens came back to party, you know, and had the power to decide. I mean, the first thing that they did, you know, sent the Germans to war. And you remember that? make love, not war, yeah? That's exactly the generation. When they were young, they were for this side. Yeah? And then, you know, they grow older, you know, and then the first thing that they do is they send people to war. Not themselves, yeah, but others. Isn't that strange? Because they didn't find any satisfaction in this kind of life, because, I mean, we can only find satisfaction within us. Yeah? So it's a different lifestyle that you can live. But, you know, I mean, satisfaction is not guaranteed. Because satisfaction arises in the heart. Yeah? If the heart is contented, if it doesn't have so much desire or very little desire, I mean, then it is satisfied, it is happy. Yeah? That's why we use this samatha training. Yeah? The samatha training of keeping ourselves to Buddha, yeah? When the mind doesn't think, it doesn't worry. It's not afraid, you know, it's not lonely. Hmm? They didn't have that recipe. Yeah? Some of them, you know, of course, you know, went to India to the ashrams and things like that, you know, and especially taking drugs, you know, and experiencing things, you know, they wouldn't understand. But, I mean, it's all this generation, it's my generation. Yeah? They met things, you know, they didn't understand, but they found they were great. Yeah? But they couldn't incorporate it because there was no path to incorporate. Yeah? So, I mean, if you remember the sannyasins, you know, I mean, they came out in the 80s, yeah? What Oshi was the guru, yeah? I mean, an Indian guru, you know, and the sannyasins were great in Germany, yeah? Lots of people, yeah? Germany followed them, yeah? Wearing orange clothes, everything, yeah? Having an orange car, wearing orange clothes, and things like that. what were they called? Yeah? I mean, I know only sannyasins, yeah? So they followed these gurus, you know, from India, from these ashrams that they had, yeah? And only few even found Buddhism, yeah? Now, Buddhism is great, you know, I mean, when the time I started practicing, you know, I mean, meditation was frowned upon. Huh? Everybody was laughing about meditation. Now, meditation is in every advertisement, yeah? Levitating about the car, you know, I mean, things like that. Yeah? Everywhere is a meditation center, yeah? I mean, at the time, you know, when I started meditation, you know, there were hardly any meditation centers, yeah? Late 80s, yeah? There were a few, but not many, yeah? And people were looked upon, you know, thought, you know, they belonged to a strange sect, yeah? Now meditation has become, you know, accepted. Yeah? Maybe, yeah, the Dalai Lama Buddhism has become accepted, maybe because of the Dalai Lama. Yeah? But But what does it teach us? And I mean, we went through the first three noble truths and started with the first noble truth. It teaches us the way out of dukkha. And it starts with sila. So I mean, sila is not only important, you know, for the people to live a happy life, you know, but it's also important for us to keep it, to get going on our practice. Without it, you know, if you break sila, I mean, we'll have a bad conscience. Automatically, nobody has to tell you that. If you steal something, I mean, you don't feel happy. But if you give something, you feel happy. I mean, that's... it's automatic. Nobody has to tell you. It's the same thing, you know. I mean, if you look at a dead corpse, you know, a rotten corpse, you feel disgusted. Sometimes you look at your own shit, you know, and feel disgusted. Nobody has to tell you that. So if you do bad, you feel bad. You know, if you do good, you feel good. But people, you know, I mean, people suppress a lot of their emotions, a lot of their feelings. That's why they can do it. They can do bad, you know, and don't, and seemingly not feel anything. So when we do samadhi, that's where we find inner happiness. At least for a moment, yeah? As long as we are in samadhi, we feel happy. Yeah, we feel contented. When we come out of samadhi, we feel restless again. You know, we feel bored. You know, we feel perturbed, yeah? Disturbed, yeah? Diseased, yeah? But then we go back into samadhi and we feel happy again. Samadhi is there to find concentration or to develop concentration, being able to concentrate or focus on one point. Why is it so important to focus on one point? If you don't focus on one point that is fixed, we don't know where our mind is. It's just like a ship, you know. If you don't put it on the buoy, in the ocean, I mean, it drifts here and there and there and there, with the waves, automatically. So our mind, if you don't fix it on a fixed point, then it drifts here and there, and you will notice, and that's why it's so difficult. The mind itself doesn't like to be fixed. You notice that? Tries to think about this, think about that, dream about this, dream about that. It doesn't want to come back to the bigger. It's very difficult. Only, you know, if you use enough time, you know, and enough effort, you find the contentment and happiness that comes from sticking to one point. And it becomes even more important, once it sticks and once it doesn't go out anymore, you feel happy, contented, and you re-energize. You feel re-energized when you come out. Look, just through concentration. That's the power of concentration. But there's one more thing to one point. To fix to one point, you need to become this one point. It's the deep state of samadhi, one-pointedness. I mean, if subject and object merges into one, you know, what is there left of this universe? Yes. It's all gone. How can it disappear? How can something like this universe disappear?
The Eidana.
It's neither perception or non-perception. It's not. It's not yet that deep.
Not yet, even? Okay.
I mean, it is, there's a very subtle, in the eighth jhana, there's a very subtle feeling. It's a mental feeling, I mean, the arupa jhanas are mental feelings, You know, I mean, suddenly, you know, the body becomes, you know, I mean, infinite, Or then the mind becomes, consciousness becomes infinite. I mean, that's a feeling. It's a mental feeling. It's not a bodily feeling.
And still there is experience here.
And there's an experience. But when this experience and the one who experiences it go to one point, then there's nothing. A And that is interesting, because time, space, everything disappears. So whatever can disappear, it cannot be us. There you see that all these things, when you come out, you know, I mean, the first thing is you say, wow, what was that? Yeah? Yeah? Amazing, yeah? And the next thought is, you know, I want to go back there because it's so amazing, yeah? But then, you know, I mean, over the time you will see, you know, I mean, if that all things can disappear, you know? And if I go back to this world, you know, there I'm disturbed by this, there I'm disturbed by that, you know, there I'm longing for this, there I'm longing for that. Longing for this, you know, is also disturbing. Yeah? But within this point, there's no disturbance. Yeah? Then you think, you know, I mean, why, you know, just like the person, you know, who goes into a video game, you know, and said, oh, that seems exciting. But, you know, I mean, his heart is beating so fast, yeah?
The best...
Now he gets confused?
No, absolutely opposite. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah?
What?
No, I mean, to see the difference between, you know, becoming one point, yeah? And then going back out into this world, you know, seeing the difference in it, yeah? And then going back again, yeah? And then, I mean, you will see it. When even in upachara, you don't have to go to the deep samadhi, you don't have to go to the one-pointedness. If you stay long enough in upachara samadhi, and if the upachara samadhi becomes really deep, you know, happiness, contentment is the beginning, you know, it becomes very peaceful in the end, you know, if it goes very deep. If you stay there long enough, yeah, and if you come out, you will see, or you will experience, where am I? What is happening? What am I? I mean, you have to recall all these things so that you find yourself back into this place where you are. And that, if that doesn't make you think what this is all about, I don't know what makes you think. You don't know. I mean, you've been gone. Yeah? And then suddenly, you know, you come back, you know. It happened to me, you know, I mean, more often, yeah. I'm sitting in my kuti, you know, I'm completely disappearing in samadhi, you know, opening my kuti. I didn't even remember I was a monk. I looked at that, what is that? You know?
It's like in the Zhuangzi story, yeah?
What?
You know the Zhuangzi? No? You don't know?
No.
You know the Taoism?
Oh.
Taoism.
Yeah, I heard of it, but I've never...
There is like the two main big philosophers of Chinese...
Yeah.
Chinese
Taoism.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. The
Lao Tzu. Oh, Lao Tzu.
And Zhuangzi is the disciple of Lao Tzu. Mm-hmm. And he has a story when he was dreaming, and in his dream, he was a butterfly. Mm. And when he woke up, he couldn't even understand, is he a Zhuangzi who was dreaming what he is the butterfly? Or
he was a butterfly who was
dreaming about that he is a Zhuangzi.
But it becomes more because it's not a dream, yeah? This is not a dream. I mean, you can do it. But, I mean, you have to be long enough in upachara samadhi, I mean, to lose all the perception of the world around you. And then you come back, yeah? And then it doesn't take very long, you know, but you can see it, yeah? It slowly develops, you know? I mean, your ego is built up, you know, your view about yourself, your view about this, you know, where am I, you know, oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, within 2 or 3 minutes, you know, the world that you live in is built up. Again. So you can function again in it. And that is that's a very interesting experience. Yeah? So if all these things can lose, you know, what am I? Yeah? I'm none of this. Yeah? I'm not the person sitting here. I'm not the person, you know, I mean, I'm not the profession. I'm not a monk, you know. What am I? Yeah? That's the power of samadhi, you know, to get to these states.
And that's what the scientist says. What? The Big Bang.
Yeah, but there's no Big Bang.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there is a Big Bang, you know, where everything collapses and then everything expands and then everything collapses again. I mean, just like you're born, you know, and then you die and then you're born again and you die.
Yeah.
I mean, so what does it matter if the universe? The universe never collapses. It cannot.
I mean, it's all the time happening and at the same time it's not happening.
But all these things, you know, what is, you know, I mean, the path of practice is to find out what is real, yeah, and what is not real, yeah. The person who lives in video games, you know, and maybe you have some friends who are really obsessed with them or yourself. Yeah? What is real then, yeah? While you're playing this, you know, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, and some people are obsessed, you know, playing it 6 hours. I mean, when you tick them on the shoulder, you know, and said, hey, get out, you know, I mean, they're getting right pissed, you know, but I mean, they're living somewhere else. They're not in reality, yeah? You remember that, huh? You're not there. You don't notice if anybody is coming there, you know, and because you're immersed, you know, you're completely immersed, yeah? Just like we are immersed in this life. Yeah.
And that's the question rising. Should we knock them on the holder, on the shoulder? Maybe let them play?
Yeah, let them play, yeah. I mean, as Buddhists, we let them play. Yeah? Until they come here, yeah. I mean, they have to find out them for themselves. They have to have the interest, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you tip them on the shoulder, I mean, they get pissed, you know, and you don't want that, yeah?
That's the point again.
Yeah. So, and you came by yourself, you know? I didn't invite you to come here.
Didn't you?
No?
Okay.
You might not remember. Okay, so today is long enough, yeah? Now first, you know, first get to this, yeah? I mean, make it as one-pointed as possible, yeah? The samadhi. So always go back to the Buddha, always go back to the breath, you know, whatever. Or put with breathing in, or do with breathing out, yeah? Okay? Questions? Have you understood this?
A lot of questions.
What?
A lot of questions. I'm just listening to you.
Okay, I mean, if you have questions, you can come, I mean, after sweeping in the, during the days, I mean, let him know. Yeah.
Today, no? Or
no, not today. I mean, it was more than an hour.